I love this verse. It says, never stop praying. And Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Prayer, listen, prayer is such an important part. It is so vital. Do you know it is one of the very few things that cannot be taken away from us. We talk all the time about there's three sort of key things, right? We talk about read your Bible, pray, and fellowship with other believers, right? Woven through almost everything we talk about. Read your Bible, pray, fellowship with other believers. Of those three, there are places in the world where Christianity is illegal and the Bible has been taken away, and there are believers who don't have a Bible to read. There are places in the world where Christianity is illegal and people are isolated either by just being the only Christians there or by being imprisoned and in solitary confinement. They don't have a Bible or fellowship. There is nothing anyone can do to take away our ability to pray. It is such a key part of the Christian life. God says this is the one thing that nobody can ever take away from you. Again, it's well known, little used. If we want a dynamic Christian walk, if we really want to feel the presence of God and grow closer to Him and see that life change that only God offers, man, our prayer life has to be a key part of that. All right. So, essential number two, connect in a home group. Connect in a home group or a study. We've got some great ones, right? Got some great home groups. We've got women's study and mom's time, all kinds of great things to invest in. Here's the deal. I love Sunday mornings. They're great, aren't they? I love it. I love we can come and worship together. We can sing together. I love our worship team. Like, it's amazing to me some Sundays, right? Like, you come and we've got somebody on the piano and we've got a couple of guitars and a bass and a drummer, and it's just fantastic. And then you come other Sundays and they're just a couple of vocalists, a guitar and a piano, and all of it is just fantastic worship. And you can, well, anyway, you guys get the idea. I love Sunday mornings. I love being together. I love the prayer time when we can pray for each other. I love the treats after the service and fellowship meals. I love seeing all of you and talking about what's going on in life. But here's the deal. This might be a little controversial. God called us to deeper connections than we can experience if it's only Sunday mornings. God has called us to more than just this, even though this is awesome. Have you guys ever been to a nice restaurant and they bring out, you know, you order your meal and then they bring out a salad? And some of those salads are just spectacular, aren't they? They come out and they'll even throw some cheese on it. I'm like, oh, that's the way you do salad, right? You throw some cheese in there, and maybe they've got those banana peppers. Ooh, those are great. And there are salads when they bring, and you can smell the salad dressing, and it makes my mouth just start to water. And I think that is going to be a good salad. And they put it down, and you eat it up, and it's just a little salad. And what do? You eat it up, and you push away from the table, and then you go home, right? Well, no. You eat a little bit of the salad, you push it aside, and you wait for the main course. And it doesn't matter. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter how good that salad is. If they do the main course right, you don't go home talking about the salad. You go home talking about the main course. Here's the point. Sunday morning, guys, this is the salad. And it's good, and it's wonderful. And it is necessary to fulfill the nutritional requirements of our day, but the meat, the real sustenance, comes from the home groups and the deeper connections. There's a verse in Proverbs 27 that I love. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Part of the way, really the main way that God refines our lives and our characters and helps us be the men and women He created us to be, is that we are refined by the people around us. And if we're honest, Sunday mornings is a great time to visit, and we can talk a little bit, but we just don't have time in our visiting to get into the true heart issues that God wants us to deal with. And as we connect in home groups and we study God's word and we look at who He is and who He says we are, and we can connect in deeper personal levels, that's where we really refine each other. That's where we really grow deeper in the Lord. That's where we really understand God's heart for us, when we see it reflected by and expressed by the people around us. Sunday mornings are great. They're just the salad. All right. So sample number three. Read with purpose. Read with purpose. So we talk about this all the time, right? Like, so we all know we need to read our Bibles, and this includes memorizing scripture and all of those good things. We want to let God's word wash over us, renewing our mind and transforming us into who we were meant to be. And we all know, right? Like, you can't expect to grow in understanding who God is and who we are. We can't expect for our characters to be refined if we're not reading God's word. Like, if we're not listening, how do we expect to hear anything? So how do we do that with purpose? So here are a few tricks. First one is find a translation that makes sense. Man, find a translation that makes sense. We get so caught up, for some reason, our culture has decided that there are some translations that are better than others, and there are some that are holy and some that aren't. And you know what? It is God's word, and it's good. There, you know, I know a lot of people who get hung up on the King James, right? I'm a King James person because that's the Bible Jesus read. Do you know King James, when he had the Bible translated, he had it translated from Latin into English for the expressed purpose that the average person couldn't read Latin, and God's word was supposed to be for everybody. He had the King James specifically translated so that it was easier to read. If King James were alive today, he would read the New Living Translation or the Message or something, right? Scripture was designed for everyone to read in a way that makes sense to them. One of the arguments against the inerrancy of the New Testament for a while was they were excavating communities, you know, and they weren't finding the Greek that the New Testament was written in. It was just a little bit different. And they're like, well, the Bible can't be from this era because all of the writing we find is different. And this is what they found. They were excavating the palaces and the high places, right? What they found, well, they call it a princely Greek, right? It was as if they came back to Minnesota and they started by excavating the state capitol, and they found all of the laws and all of the bills, and they were reading that language and said, clearly this is how they wrote. Eventually they got to the point where they were excavating the marketplaces and the average homes, and you know what they found? They found the Greek that the Bible was written in. The Bible was written in the everyman language. Find a translation that makes sense intuitively. All right, here's the next one. Make a plan and stick to it. Don't just read your Bible and be intentional. Create structure to help it take root and truly influence your life. All right, so what does that mean? Create structure. Obviously, that means find a time, right? And schedule that away and use that intentionally. Right? Like I know we always say we're really busy, and we are. I get that. Somehow we all find time to squeeze in our meals. We schedule those, and somehow those seem to work. Same is true with Scripture. It also means find a structure to help get as much out of what you're reading as possible, right? And there are lots of them. Here's a really simple one that I like. It's called SOAP. SOAP. You should write that down. S-O-A-P. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Okay, you guys get the idea already. Every day when you're reading, when you're taking your time and your word, find a passage or a verse or a section of a verse and write that down. Write it down, and that's the scripture, right? Next, simply write down what you observe about the verse. It is amazing. It is incredible what you'll find if you write down simple things you observe about the verse. Tracy, would you throw up Proverbs 27 again? As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And we won't go through all of it, but you guys get the idea. When you look at this, what are the things you observe? Well, here's a couple things. It's iron and iron, right? That means one is not stronger than the other. Right? So a friend sharpens a friend. That means God's example here isn't you are only to be refined by somebody in your from an authority position. No, God is saying no. Two things on evil playing field. You know what else? Iron sharpens iron. When iron sharpens, does only one side of the iron get scraped? No, both sides do because they're of equal strength. So as iron is sharpening iron, both parties are being refined, right? Simple observations like iron and iron are the same strength. Friend and friend are the same strength. Scripture comes alive. So there you go. And we could spend the rest of our time just looking at observations from this verse. It really is amazing what'll pop up. Next, so you've written down your scripture, right? You've written down your observations. Next, apply it to your life, right? What does this mean? This means that I need to find somebody in my life who will sharpen me and will let me sharpen them. And I need to let them do it. So the application might be, I'm going to talk to so-and-so and ask them to speak into my life and ask if I can speak into theirs. And these are the three questions we're going to ask each other, however you want to do it. And then next, you record a short prayer. Right? Scripture, observation, application, prayer. You don't have to do this one. To do this one. Find some sort of structure to help you read through the Bible with purpose. Okay? I promise creating a simple structure like this in your life will transform your times with God. And it'll transform your life. Again, this isn't tricky or hard. It's pretty simple. It's well known but little used. All right, we'll skip that. Essential number four. Oh boy. Be thankful. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure what else I really need to say, right? God just told us to give thanks in all circumstances because that's what he's telling us to do. That's how we were created. God's will for us is to give thanks in all circumstances. Now here's the deal. I'm not a poster Christian. There are, what I mean by that is this. There are a lot of people who try to convey Christianity through fun posters, right? Let go and let God. Just do it. It's that easy. Just do it. That's not me. If it were that simple, Paul would not have spent so much time struggling through it. Listen, this is one of my favorite sections in Scripture, right? Romans 7:21-25. I love it because this I could have written this, right? So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. If you are a poster Christian, you might look at Paul and go, you know what, Paul? Let go and let God. Paul, maybe if you were more mature, you would understand. No, we're wrestling through this. Wrestling through this our entire lives. And although the message of let go and let God might be true and accurate, it undercuts the struggle and the work that we do day in and day out to wrestle through it with God. Paul, he's had the thorn in the flesh, right? He talked about. And he says, three times I prayed and asked God to remove it. Paul was wrestling through. Again, we're not poster Christians. We understand what a dark and broken and difficult world we live in. And despite that, God says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we go back to our soap, right, what are a couple observations we see in this verse? It says, in all circumstances. What does that mean? If God, the creator of heaven and earth, who knows everything, sees all, if he says in all circumstances you should be able to give thanks, what does that mean? That means there's something to be thankful for in every circumstance. Right? Paul, as he's praying three times that God would remove this thorn in the flesh, and God told him no. But what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. There's always things to be thankful for, and I'm not always good at seeing those or finding those, but I know that it's true. Even in our deepest, darkest seasons, there are small things to be thankful for, and we need to find them for our benefit. Right? God doesn't tell us to do this because he doesn't want whiny children. God tells us to do this because it is for our benefit. It helps us, helps our spiritual and emotional health. It's God's will for our life, right? Here, I want you to, if there's a verse you want to memorize, this is the one you want to memorize, okay? From this Sunday. It's 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If nothing else, we can be thankful that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. All right. One more quick one. Essential number 5, be doers of the word. I'm just going to tell you this real quick story. My son Curry has sort of taken up my love of baking. And a few weeks ago, he said, can I make a cake? And he's done this before. We're like, sure, Curry, go ahead. He looks at the recipe. He reads it. He then throws it aside and ignores it. And he goes, and he missed a few things, right? He put in the sugar, because, you know, you don't want to miss the sugar. And then he put in the eggs, twice as many eggs as he needed, but he likes cracking the eggs, so he puts in the eggs. And then he puts in chocolate chips, because, I mean, what's a cake without chocolate chips, right? I don't think he put in anything else. He didn't put any flour in, certainly no baking soda or anything like that. And then cooked it. That one didn't turn out, right? This is how the majority of Christians in the U.S. live their lives. If, and it's a big if, you look at the statistics, it is a paltry percentage of people who claim Christ as their Lord and Savior who actually read their Bible regularly. If we read our Bible, many people read their Bible and, like Curry, they throw it aside and ignore it when they go out the door. And then we wonder why the cake doesn't turn out. Then we wonder why our lives aren't lived to the full like God promises. Wonder why we feel like we're swimming upstream and we feel unfulfilled. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. This is it, man. Right? If we did just this one, we could have done this whole message titled One Thing That We All Need to Do. One well-known, little used, essential to the Christian walk, and this would be it, because it encompasses everything else, right? If we would just read God's word and do what it says. Read the recipe, follow the instructions, and the cake turns out. Read the Bible, follow the instructions. God's blessings will follow. I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I'm just saying your life will feel fulfilled even if it isn't reaching whatever our society's standards might say that it is. Your life will be fulfilled because you'll have a connection with God that dwarfs everything else. All right, I apologize, I'm out of time. Here are the 5 essentials from this week. Pray, connect in a home group, read the Bible with purpose, be thankful, and be doers of the word. Next week we'll finish up the list. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for your deep and desperate love for us. We thank you, Lord, for all you bless us with, and your call, your deep call to each one of us to draw closer to you and to bask in your love. I just pray, Lord, just for the strength and the courage to live out our lives the way you call us to. We could experience the life that you created us for. And as we go home, you would call us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.